Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. This week I've got a program that's a little different in that I'm not doing an interview with somebody, but I'm taking a presentation that was made last week at the Gateway NAMA chapter meeting that was held in St. Louis, and the guest speaker was Tim Ganshaw, who is the Vice President of Strategic Development for AgriStar Global Networks. His talk was about bringing internet access to rural America. Of course, that's a subject near and dear to our heart here at ZimCom and especially on AgWired. One of the things that was a key issue was the need for broadband out in the countryside. This is something that we've seen USDA certainly look at trying to develop by providing low-cost loans to companies that want to create the infrastructure for high-speed internet access, and that's being done. But some of the information that Tim was able to provide, I think, will help clear up some confusion about just what is the state of high-speed access out in the country. And first of all, I've got a little segment from his presentation where he talks about a little bit of the history of internet access and where we stand with that, not just on farms, but in general across the country.
Today, as we sit here, there's 81 million homes that have internet access, and it accounts for 66% of the population. And that's an increase of nearly 75% since 2000. From a communication standpoint, it's incorporated into every part of our daily life. As a comparison, the U.S. Post Office sends about 202 billion letters per year. Email this past year was 10 times that amount, or just over 2 trillion. And of those in the U.S., 95% actively use email, those online, excuse me. From a shopping standpoint, this is some figures that just came out last week analyzing this past holiday season run-up. There was $30.1 billion spent online, which was up 30% from 2004, and nearly one out of three gifts were purchased over the internet. So from a commercial standpoint, it's truly moved mainstream. So looking back at the ABC television executives' quote, they've really developed one heck of a CB radio, particularly for ABC. If you just look at their site, they incorporate everything from really innovative flash. They have video lodged throughout the site. It's a truly rich media site. So the question is, after that lull that was about midway through the past 10 years, what is it that's been fueling the growth? If you break down those internet numbers for just having online access, you'll see that there's been a really substantial encroachment within those that are online by broadband. Today, there's about 75 million homes, households, as opposed to users, households that have it, and of that, 59% are on broadband, or about 44 million homes. There's a few other notable metrics with regard to broadband. In December of 2004, it passed the 50% threshold of internet users, and also in 2004, it passed through what was called the adoption sweet spot, or about 25% of the households. Now, what's significant about each of those numbers is that those are fairly critical because it's when media producers really start to tailor the information for a broadband environment. So what you have now isn't a matter of if you get onto broadband, you're going to be getting ahead of the curve. It's if you get on broadband now, you're going to be basically keeping up with the pace. And as I mentioned, the broadband subscribers, 59% of U.S. households. Looking ahead, it's projected to grow to 80% of U.S. households by 2010. So there's really been this massive push of connecting all of America. But when you step back now and you look at what's the state of connectivity in the farm community, it's grown quite a bit. You'll see some tapering off in the past 3 years, but of the 2.1 million farms in the U.S., you currently have right around 51% of those farms are connected to the internet. If you break it down by economic class, you'll see that those with the higher incomes, in this case those greater than 100,000, are adopting the internet at a greater rate. In this past year, 2005, there were about 65% of those earning over 100,000 were connected to the internet. So then the question is, where does agriculture stand with respect to broadband access? Well, looking at that group that's over 100,000, they're right at about 65% of just any kind of internet access. And looking at a U.S. household standpoint, it's pretty close. And so the thinking would be that there's probably still quite a bit of parity between the two. But when you look at what the broadband percentage is of those connected households, that's when you see a fairly marked difference. The broadband right now is you know, right around 55% for farms over 100,000 as for just general U.S. households. And now if you take that and you just look at the farm universe in total, that 23% drops from there. If you step back and just look at rural America as a whole, you'll see that the numbers have been steadily increasing, but steady isn't really what we need at this point, because when you look at that the nation, it's exploding. The difference has become quite marked just in terms of the volume of users who have broadband for U.S. households as a whole versus U.S. farms. The other thing is that I think is important is comparing farms that are generating over $100,000 in income with a general household really isn't an accurate comparison. What you need to do is compare small businesses to small businesses. And here, if you do that, there's quite a striking difference between the two. Of the 100,000 farms, only 23% of those have broadband, of those earning over 100,000. Compare that to rural small businesses, and it goes up to 43%. And then if you look at urban and suburban businesses, it's 54%. So there's less than half of the top small businesses in many rural communities are connecting at a rate as their counterparts in urban and suburban areas. There's also some indication to suggest that these industry stats that I just showed may be a bit inflated when some of the agribusiness companies have done some of their own surveys. They found connectivity levels that are substantially less. The Farm Progress did a brand study in 2004 that found 13% of those surveyed had a high-speed connection. Two of the seed leaders in July of 2004 found that under 5%. DFA found under 3%. The NCGA found under 5% of those that they surveyed. Now, admittedly, these are from a year earlier, but I think it's probably safe to say that the numbers didn't jump to the levels that we just saw for those making over $100,000 in income. So the current state of the farm internet connectivity is fairly simply that the best customers, for the most part, don't have broadband. And not just that, but their dial-up connections are extremely poor. So it's not a case in the suburban and urban communities where if you don't have broadband, you're probably connecting at around 40K. What we've found in the surveys that we've done is the typical rural access for those that have dial-up is about 20K. And it's the first time I heard it, I thought I'd seen an anomaly, but that was a few years ago, and I'm now well aware that it's not. That there are those that have 10K and less. I think the slowest I heard was 6. So when you're dealing with those kind of connections, you really aren't dealing with one at all. And as an example, if you took a 300K file and you tried to transmit that over a 28.8K modem, which is actually faster than the 20 that's typical, it'll take a minute and 33 seconds. If you transmitted that same size file, say over the AgriStar system that we have, average downloads for our starter system is between 600 and 700K, it'll take 3 seconds. So you're looking at a usability that just is substantially greater by going from the rural connectivity, which is pretty awful, to a high speed. Another way to look at what the farmer's typical rural connectivity is to put it in sort of a connectivity timeline, put it in a historical context. So right now we're at 2006. If you look at what the farmer's dial-up speed is from where different modems were introduced, the 28K modem for just general business was introduced in 1995, early in 1995. Some other things that were happening around that same time, you had Windows 95 release, DVDs actually went on sale afterward, and then the Apple iMac came about a year later. So when you're talking about farmers today using a technology that predates DVDs, which last time was in Blockbuster, they don't even sell VHSs, you're really looking at a technology that we have to try and actively work to move away from.
So as we've heard Tim say, the biggest issue is getting high-speed broadband internet access out into the countryside, into the rural areas, and how do we increase that connectivity? He talked about the several different methods or options that farmers have, which include DSL and cable and others, none of which really seem to be good options when you get out into the middle of the countryside. And this is where he says satellite becomes a great option.
So from AgriStar's standpoint, when we first started out, again, looking at the agricultural market, we're trying to figure out what was going to be a nationwide communication solution for the industry. And we looked at high-speed satellite, and events to date have really shown that to be a very good decision. The disadvantage with satellite that you'll hear from a lot of people is that it has latency. And the reason for that is they're coming off of communication satellites that are 23,000 miles in the air. They all hover over the equator. And so in order for a signal to get to a place on the internet, it has to go back and forth to the satellite, one to get to, say, Yahoo. And then if you're getting the information back, it has to go back and forth to the satellite again. And so what you're looking at is a total round trip of about 96,000 miles. Now, that's the bad part. The good part is all those signals are traveling at the speed of light. And so the total round trip you're looking at is about half a second. So from an internet use standpoint, if you're trying to get information page off the CNN, the half second probably isn't going to be that big of a drawback unless there's something that I wouldn't want to think is going on. Where it really will cause problems, though, is if you have, say, a teenager that wants to play online games, because that extra second is kind of the difference between avoiding a sack and getting sacked in Madden football. Yeah. The other advantage that the satellites have is the newest generation has really increased so that their speeds are DSL comparable. You've got downloads that are 700K, which is actually faster by about a factor of two than DSL is in most rural areas. Upload speeds with satellite has historically been a problem, but this latest generation has really solved that to a great extent. And so you're looking at uploads of about a theoretical maximum of about 256 to 128, depending on the connection plan. And then if you look at high usage periods, you generally factor in about a 60 to 80% of that maximum. So you're looking at uploads of between 60 and 85 kilobits, downloads of 750 rather. And again, looking at it not from a person that's on cable, but looking at it from a farmer that's connecting at 20 kilobits both ways, you're looking at kind of a quantum leap into how they can communicate. Just a little overview on AgriStar. We utilize Hughes Network satellite system. Hughes is notable, and they're the world's largest satellite provider, world's largest broadband satellite provider. They have about 60% of all the current deliveries in the world. They've got an installation network of 4,000 plus technicians. This is one of the things that we really hammered them on when we started. We knew they were coming from kind of a DirecTV installation mindset. And so what we wanted to know is, we understand that you can get one in suburban Chicago, but what if we want a farm in western Kansas? What's that going to do? And so early on, there were some troubles. They actually hadn't thought about western Kansas as much as we had, but since then the installations have been great, and as it stands now, anywhere in the country within 2 weeks we can have a satellite system installed. One of the unique things also, just to go into a little more depth on satellite, that while it does have the latency issue, there's three strengths of satellite, two that cable, DSL, and the wireless providers don't have. The first that they do have is just fast internet. As I mentioned, satellites got downloads of 700K to 2 megabits and can go anywhere you'd like on the internet. And again, comparing it to rural, it's quite a speed difference. The second advantage that satellite has is what's called multicast video. You can effectively turn a computer into a DirecTV terminal. And it's a separate channel that comes down into the farm office. And so from a communication standpoint, if you wanted to do a training video to dealerships and have them query back over a message board, that's something satellite can do. You can also set up a business channel at certain times of the day. Many of you know Orion Samuelson. Orion's working with us and heading up our audio-visual programs. Orion had a TV channel called Channel Earth a while back, and in talking to Orion about it, he said how the the reaction he got from the farmers was tremendous. I had a friend that was a producer there, and they said they'd just get calls all the time from farmers saying how much they valued the fact that there was a channel dedicated to their industry and that they were really sending out this valuable information. So the concept was sound. But what Orion said that the challenge that they had was the means that they were delivering the program. They're going over a DirecTV channel. For the sake of economics, they actually had it switch to pay-per-view programming at, I think it was 6 o'clock Central Time, thinking that most of the farmers would come in from the field a little before then. You could get those. People on the East Coast, you could get them. The problem was that anyone on the West Coast, it was 4 o'clock. And so what he found was that he was kind of basically having people in the morning, people at lunch, and some of the people in the afternoon. And anyone that watched thought it was great. But when you looked at the total time that they were having to rent on that DirecTV slot, the economics didn't work. But with the multicast video, the economics do work. You can send out beams specifically to specific farmers. And so, for instance, if you're looking at a customer base that has 33,000 corn farmers and you wanted to send a new product video out to specifically those 33,000, or maybe you know that of that 10,000 of that, a subset, are your top customers. And so you want everyone to get one video, so you send a particular video out to the 33,000. But there's maybe a unique product that has a little higher learning curve, and so there's some specialized application procedures you have to get. You want that to go down to the 10,000. With satellite, you can load those up, send down one program to all 33,000, send down another to 10, and you can really mix and match any way you like. The second one is, it's called package delivery. And that actually, it's a push technology where all they have to do is leave their computer on, and you populate their hard drive at the rate of 3 megabits per second with any kind of file, video file, a flash file, large pictures, maybe data maps. And from the user standpoint, all they have to do is wake up in the morning. If you schedule the delivery for 4 a.m., they just need to know that before they go to bed, they don't turn off their computer. And so when they access the computer at 5:30 in the morning, they'll have either a weekly news show that you'll put out, and that's coming right off the hard drive. So you're not dealing with any kind of loading time. You're not dealing with any kind of resolution issues by trying to make the file small so it'll transmit easy. You can have as long a program as high a resolution, and they can get it instantaneously. And so when we look at it for the three modes of delivery, you can kind of surround the user with broadband. You can get the click and pull internet, you can stream stuff to them from video, and then you can also populate their hard drive. And so from a user standpoint, you can mix and match so they're able to just get things when they need it. You actually eliminate any kind of perception of the slow connectivity.
In this last segment from Tim's presentation, we move to the logical question that, what is the advantage to farmers if they do have broadband internet access? How does this help them?
We think we have a means to bring broadband to the farmers. And then the question is, well, does it help? And if you look at what the behavior characteristics of the two are, you'll see that broadband users access the internet 95% more than narrowband users. If you look at minutes spent online, they access, on average, 90% more. So you have, they're using email more, they're looking at your websites more, they're downloading newsletters more. We had several users that when they signed up, we had asked them about their emailing character, or their emailing habits, and a good surprising percentage would check email every other week. It wasn't even weekly. And the reason they gave is that it was just so darn long that they didn't have time to sit through it. Other benefits of broadband, in a survey that was done last year, 66% thought it increased their workplace efficiency. Over half increased their productivity. One out of three thought it enhanced their ability to compete. So when you're looking at farmers in today's agriculture, you're looking at productivity, efficiency, and the ability to compete. And that's what a lot of these top guys do. And so what we're thinking is that if groups in agriculture go to them with a solution that helps these top farmers connect better, there's going to be an uptake on their end, and I think an appreciation for the type of information that they're getting. And then from a marketer standpoint, there's just tools to utilize in communicating with them that wasn't there before. Video is one of the prime examples. When you look at the impact of video over GIF and JPEG, just standard banner ads, you're looking at uptakes of 5 times the rate of the old way.
The last thing that Tim talked about in his presentation was the whole effort of bringing broadband to rural America, and especially to farmers. And to do that, his company, AgriStar Global Networks, is promoting what they call the Broadband Alliance for Agriculture. This is an effort that they are working with other organizations, companies, agricultural groups, to encourage and bring high-speed internet access into the rural communities. You can find out more about his company and about the efforts to do this at their website, which is www.agristar.com. And with this Zimcast, I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.